faster in willing myself not to fall, no longer even conscious of the pain in my throat. I wasn't sure where I was going. All I knew was that I needed to put as much distance as I could between myself and the spotless blue Kia Sorento. And more importantly, I needed to get away from the soft-spoken, fine-as-hell man who drove it. The Needle, I had called him when I told Charissa about our upcoming date. As in the needle in a deep haystack of bachelors on the Matchstrike app. Divorced dads with kids, complicated custody agreements, and cringy gym bathroom selfies. Jimmy was different. With his dark amber eyes, a close-shaved beard along his angular jawline, and a hard-part haircut, he was a dead ringer for Chris Hemsworth. When I showed Charissa his photo, she had actually squealed. I, on the other hand, had kept my expectations in check. I wasn't new to the online dating scene. I had taken an Uber to Gracie's spot in Salt Lake after my shift, embraced to meet Chris Hemsworth's creepy cousin. I even texted Charissa on my way. Call me in an hour with an out? I could see the text bubbles appearing immediately after I hit send. Whatever, you know you're thirsty. I rolled my eyes. More bubbles. I'll call. We talked in the back booth of Gracie's until last call at 11. I texted Charissa from the bathroom that there was no need to rescue me after all. She'd replied immediately, like always, thirsty. As I washed my hands, a paper sign taped to the bathroom mirror caught my attention. On a date that isn't going well? Do you feel unsafe or just a little uneasy? Ask for Andrea at the bar. We'll make sure you get home safe. I smiled as I dried my hands, grateful I didn't need to ask. Not tonight. Not with him. I stopped looking at the sign and studied myself in the mirror. I had taken extra time with my hair, which I usually let fall into a blunt line across my shoulders. Earlier, I had coaxed it into waves that looked like spun gold in the restaurant lighting. I reapplied some of the deep pink lipstick that had become my signature accessory over the years and pressed my lips together, wondering if he'd kiss me later. I had two beers over the course of the evening, not enough to get me drunk or anything, just enough to take the edge off my nerves, because he did not, in fact, look like Chris Hemsworth's creepy cousin. He was thoughtful and funny. Even the large mole on his cheek somehow made him all the more attractive. He drank ginger ale. It didn't faze me. I lived in Utah, after all. The last thing I remember was feeling a little bit too warm and really, really happy. The syrup-colored lights blazing in the trendy Sputnik chandeliers suddenly had these little auras surrounding them. So when he suggested that I let him drive me home instead of waiting for an Uber in the cold, I didn't even hesitate. The car had those crinkly paper covers on the seats, like it had just been cleaned. That's the last thing I remember, until I woke up with his hands and my scarf around my neck. The warm lights of Gracie's were gone, replaced with the bite of pine needles and dirt under my hair and the swirling dark of the freezing night air. For a few seconds, I couldn't understand what was happening. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I couldn't even tell where I was. All I knew was that everything hurt. The memory of our date crashed through the haze when I saw his eyes glinting above me. They weren't warm or even amber-colored anymore like they had been in the booth at Gracie's. These eyes were cold, wide, and full of rage. I thought about the sign in the bathroom at Gracie's. Ask for Andrea. Andrea couldn't help me now. No one could. I moved faster than I'd ever moved in my life, the pounding in my head and my chest and the crushing pressure of the scarf forgotten. I didn't care where I was going. All that mattered was putting as much distance between us as possible, even if it meant running headlong into the looming woods. I thought I heard someone call out as I dove down the rocky slope of the shallow stream bed. It sounded like a woman. I ignored it and kept running. He didn't follow me. He didn't need to. Because when I finally stopped running, I realized to my amazement that I wasn't out of breath. Just as quickly, the amazement turned to horror. I wasn't breathing hard because I wasn't breathing at all. Chapter 2. Brescia, Boulder, Colorado, 2 years before. I first realized I was dead the same way you realize you've been dreaming. Except backwards, I guess. Because the bad dream was real.